Well, hello again. I want to welcome you again this week to these lessons about believing Jesus. Believers, we're supposed to believe Jesus. And we are believing him, but we're going to believe him more. Our jumping off point, our foundational scripture for this series is John 14:12. Verily, verily, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works shall he do, because I go unto my Father. The next two verses, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. We're going to believe that and walk in the power of that, and we're going to see the same works being done today that you see that he did while he was on earth in his own body. Every time I say that, I get a little check, because my body is his own body now. You know, that's what the Bible says. My body has been bought with a price. Anyway, that's not today's lesson now, is it? Well, you don't know, because I haven't told you yet. The title of today's lesson is Words and Angels. Words and Angels. And before we start, let me just tell you right now, I am not an expert on angels. I have read many books about angels from experts. What I mean, people that are highly educated in the Greek and the Hebrew languages and that have studied the Bible intensively. And there's many good books on angels. But from, you know, the way the Lord always, you know, my function in the body of Christ is not to the intellectual, you know, my function in the body of Christ is to the soldier that's in the trenches on the front lines. And I mean, that even include, you know, you mothers that are raising godly seed, how to live. In other words, the instructions I have are to deliver the word of God in a way that causes us to function in line with the king's commands. The king of the, we all have a king. His name is Jesus. And so, again, if you write me a lot of questions about angels, I'll probably just write back, I don't know. You know? What I know, I'm happy to share, and that's what I'm going to do today. And now, I hope you've been listening to these messages in sequence, because in several previous lessons, we talked a little bit about angels. You know, we talked about Gabriel visiting Mary and Gabriel visiting Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. And we've already been through some of that. We're going to lightly mention that today, but there's no way I can do that again, or we'll just take up the whole hour. But now, I have notes. I'm going to stick pretty close with them, because it's mostly important that I don't leave something out. Plus, a lot of times, these notes occur over long periods of time of prayer and meditation. And sometimes I write them. I think the Holy Spirit helps me write them, and then I can't improve on them. So anyway, I just want to remind you that in previous lessons, the Lord said he wanted to have the same testimony with every believer. If the Lord had his way, he would have this testimony with every believer on planet Earth, all of his children. What testimony? Well, what he said about Samuel in 1 Samuel 3:19, God let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Wow. Now, we know Samuel was a great and mighty prophet. We also know that John the Baptist was a mighty prophet. But you know what Jesus said? He said, born among women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. So Samuel is not greater than John the Baptist. But then Jesus said this, he said, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he, greater than John the Baptist. And he was greater than Samuel, according to Jesus, because John the Baptist is the one that introduced the Messiah. Oh, man, we could just do whole lessons right there and have a great time. But the point of today is, if as a child of God, born again, a born again person on planet Earth, born of God, we're in a higher position. I'm going to say a higher glory, because remember, I think last week we talked a little bit about this, that Jesus said, Father, the glory thou gavest me, I've given them. Well, the first level of that glory, Pastor Dave Roberson broke down for me. I heard it years ago from him. What is the first level of that glory? What's the foundation of it? Sonship. Jesus made it possible through all that he suffered and the resurrection. He made it possible for his Father to be our Father. He's prepared a room for us in the Father's house, and it's where the when the Son goes, you know, you have a room in Daddy's house. Jesus also prepared a room on earth for Daddy, and that's you. Okay, previous lessons. I hope you've heard those. Now, today we're going to talk about what if God had that same testimony today with us who are supposed to be even higher than Samuel or John the Baptist? That's what Jesus said. Don't write me any letters. The least in the kingdom of God is greater. Wouldn't it be something if God didn't let any of our words fall to the ground? Well, that'd be something. I didn't say good. What about those words you spoke when that guy cut you off in traffic, you know? What about those words you spoke when you stubbed your toe, you know? Well, it's obvious that right now, a lot of our words fall to the ground, and they should. But we're pressing into this revival that Jesus and the Holy Spirit has prophesied that it's going to be even greater than the book of Acts. My goodness. Well, I want to be a part of that, and I know you do too. Well, if we're going to be used in this revival, our words are going to have to change so that the Holy Spirit and the angels can work with our words and what we say will come to pass. We've introduced all of these things in previous lessons, so I'm just going to go on as if you've heard them all. Hopefully you have. If not, they're available for you, and you can afford them. They're free. Okay. But previously we talked about that and how God didn't allow, he wanted to have that same testimony that he'd rather not let any of our words fall to the ground. It'd be better for the kingdom of God if every time we spoke, it was productive. So in that lesson previously, we spoke of the necessity of bridling our tongue with the word of God so that when we speak, we always speak either the word directly or in line with the word. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have casual conversations. You know, when my wife teaches our granddaughter Lily how to make chicken and dumplings, she's not quoting the word, but she is quoting factual things that are very true and useful. Jesus was raised in a carpenter's house. His Joseph, we're told, was a carpenter. I bet Jesus knew how to make a good wooden chair, don't you? He might have sat on a chair sometime and went, "This is not how my father told me to build chairs. This is not a quality chair." I don't know. In other words, what I'm saying is, obviously, we have speech that is not quoting the word exactly, but it's truth. It's factual. To the edifying and to the good. Okay. All right, I'm going to take you all the way back to those thrilling days of yesteryear. And this is another portion of that words document that I haven't really spoken about yet. I might have mentioned it, but today we're going to go in depth. First of all, in 1986, and again, I was just spending time praying in the Spirit, and I had learned from Oral Roberts that it was okay to ask the Lord to interpret. You know, he doesn't always, but if there's instruction that I need to understand, again, just in case you didn't hear it, I want you to understand what I'm talking about. When God gave Oral Roberts the instruction to build him a university, you know, today you can drive by it over here, it's 81st and basically 81st and Lewis on the north side, northeast quadrant. It's a very impressive thing. The buildings and the architecture is just outstanding, and it's been there for many years. They've got the highest enrollment this year that they've ever had. They turn out very quality people in every way, not just good lawyers, but Christian lawyers, okay? But when God first told Oral to build him a university, Oral said, "I didn't have the foggiest notion of how to do that." I said, "God, I don't know how to do that." But Oral learned that he could pray and then ask the Lord to give him the interpretation. And you don't always, you know, you don't always get one. But if it was something pertaining to his instruction, God would give him the interpretation. He'd say, oh, you know, God would, step one, here's what you do. Okay, go do that. Come back, pray, get the interpretation. Oh, step two, go do that. Okay. And he said, that's exactly how the university was built. Well, you drive by it, it's very impressive. Okay. So anyway, that's how I learned, and I began practicing that, putting it into practice way back in 1986. And it went on for quite a while before I ever began hearing anything, to be honest with you. But I did, eventually. And they would come piecemeal on different days, and I would just kind of collect them and try and organize them in this document, but it's pretty disorganized. It's all over the map. So, but what I'm trying to do, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to put it in a more logical sequence in these lessons so I can share with you what he did share with me about all these subjects. Well, today we're going to talk about angels and words, okay? Or words and angels, okay. 1986, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, and I'm quoting, I warn you, saith the Lord, this day the volume of power is turned up in your words. What a sentence. I thought, what? Let me start again. I'll try not to comment. I warn you, saith the Lord, this day the volume of power is turned up in your words. You shall see the effects of your words come to pass quicker than you have seen in the past. Therefore, praise and worship and speaking the good is essential. Make Philippians chapter 4 part of you. Get it into your heart in abundance, so that when you speak, it will be to edification, comfort, and exhortation. Even God cannot grant the power only on the positive side. It is impossible. The power is increased completely, whether you speak for evil or good. Then he said, speak truth, light, love, faith, hope, my name, and in my name. I'm going to put a copy of these as a PDF file, of these notes as a PDF file, along with the video at the website, so you don't have to try and, you know, pause and make notes. You're going to have my notes, so, okay. So you can just relax and watch and listen and learn. So he told me there to make Philippians chapter 4 part of me. Now, the whole chapter is wonderful and impressive, and we could teach for weeks out of that chapter. But specifically in regard to these words, did you notice how he said, get it into your heart in abundance? Later in this lesson, you'll see why that's so important. And the part that really stood out to me when it comes to, you know, Philippians 4 affecting my heart so that it affects my words was verses 4 through 9. So let me just read them out of the King James. It says, rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. We could preach a month right there. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Plain English. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now let me stop for a moment. The way that speaks to me is this, and we've also talked about this in a previous lesson. This verse has become a trigger for me as I meditated it over the years, and you really got it into me in abundance. Here's the way it speaks to me. Don't worry about anything. Pray instead. It's become a trigger to me. If I catch myself worry, oh man, what if? Oh, gee, that looks, if I catch myself worry, what, no matter what it is, oh, I'm not supposed to worry about it. I'm going to pray about it instead. Boy, that is life changing. If you don't leave from this lesson with anything but that, it will change your life. But when you pray, do it the scriptural way. Pray with thanksgiving because you know he heard you and you believe you receive when you pray. So when you pray, do it with thanksgiving, okay? let your requests be made known unto God through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Okay? The thanksgiving part is because you believe you receive when you pray. Oh, okay, I prayed. God's got this. I'm not sure yet how it's going to turn out, but I just know God's got this. And that peace that comes, he talks about that. The next verse, he said, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Oh, man, I love that. And minds. The mind is where the battle is, I'll tell you. That peace which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he gives this instruction. Now, this is a command. At the end of it, he says, think on these things. He doesn't phrase that as a suggestion. This is a command. You want the peace of God, do you? Okay. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. Do it. What happens if you do it? Well, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, in other words, you've seen me function like this, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And my engineering brain goes, and what if you don't? Well, your life's not going to be full of the peace of God. And it's really our choice. It's really our choice. You're either going to choose to think on the things that he spoke about there. You're going to choose that. Or you're going to worry all the time. You're going to think on the negative. And the God of peace, that peace that passes all understanding, is not going to be yours. It's our choice. I choose that every time. I'm telling you, it gets to be, it's a trigger. It becomes a trigger. If you meditate on this and practice it long enough, it becomes an absolute trigger. It's, oh, there's an opportunity to worry. Ah, I'm going to pray instead. And I thank you, Lord. I know you heard me. I know you've got this now. It's going to be okay. No matter what the enemy intended for evil, you're going to turn it for good. Hallelujah. I mean, it changes how you live. Okay. Well, that was quite a statement that I heard in 1986. And to be honest with you, okay, every time I say that, I always try and be honest with you. Well, you know, that was very good. And he let me chew on that for a long time. That was sometime during 1986 when I heard that. But of course, the question being, you know, I guess I was just born with I want to take the clock apart and see how it works. I just had this engineering thing and always had this question. Well, how? What do you mean you turn up the, is there a knob somewhere? What do you mean you turn up the volume of power on my radio? I've got a knob, you know, back then. What do you mean? Well, he let me chew on that for a long time, didn't answer my question. But in 1987, he did. He gave me more details. I'm sure it's not the fullness, the complete, you know, how does an infinite God share his knowledge with us? Anyway, he did good. So in 1987, he just picked it right up and began answering my question. How do you turn up the power? And I didn't know really until then, until 1987, that it had a lot to do with angels. All right, here we go. So again, now I'm going to read to you what I heard from him in 1987. I'm going to quote, the Holy Spirit said to me, how does the Lord turn up the power in our words? He has sent an angel to you. You have many angels assigned to you, but I am assigning a specific angel who is a chief, a commander of sorts. His specific assignment is to hear your words. As he hears your words, he issues commands to the angels that are under his command. There are ranks of angels, and different angels have different assignments. This angel will not forgive your words. I'm going to say that again. I have learned this is so important. This angel will not forgive your words. Angels do not operate in mercy and forgiveness. They operate in obedience. Therefore, I charge you, speak my word and speak in line with my word. This angel will not forgive nor bypass your words. I remember, of course, I always want scripture for everything. You know, I said, Lord, you're going to have to give me verification. And I always want at least three witnesses. And one of them has to be from the Old Testament, because the Old Testament is the shadow of the new. Anything real casts a shadow. So if you get a new doctrine, you know, and some new understanding, if it's real, you'll find the shadow in that Old Testament somewhere. So he's always been faithful to do it for me, to help me with that. Well, I was just beginning, as you can imagine. This was many years before we ever, even heard of Dave Roberson. Thank God for Dave Roberson. Anyway, I could go on and on, but thank God. But this was before then, and I didn't really have, I didn't have Oral Roberts' phone number on my speed dial. He wouldn't have known me from Adam. Don't get me wrong, but he was, but through his books and through his messages. He and several others were my first mentors, you know. So, but I'm asking the Lord, I said, Lord, I need some confirmation. I've never heard anything like this. I've never heard anybody talk about angels and how they're connected really with your words like that. Well, the first level that he gave me was Psalm 103 and verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20. You can look it up if you'd like. I'm going to read it to you. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments. Okay. Now notice, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Now I'll just tell you the truth there. I misread that for years, because I mean, there are the words, you know, but the way I heard it was, those angels hearken unto his word. And it wasn't until later, one day, the Holy Spirit, it's like that word voice just stood up off the page. Oh, now I know they hearken to his voice. I mean, he sends angels and commands angels. And we know who the Lord of angel armies is. And that's Jesus is the captain of the host. And, you know, and the Father can send angels. Jesus said he could ask the Father to send to him angels. And he said, you know, he could get legions of them, you know. I mean, one angel, and it doesn't even tell you his name, Joe Angel, you know, in one night slew 180 some odd thousand of the enemy. I mean, when he says they excel in strength, he's not kidding. Well, if one angel could do that, legions of angels could destroy the world. I mean, anyway, the power is not the issue here. In any confrontation, it's not a matter of power. Who has the power? It's authority. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. Anyway, so the Holy Spirit brought it to my attention what that verse really says. And it already said, see, earlier it said that do his commandments. Well, that's him speaking to him, isn't it? You know, go do this. But why add this phrase, hearkening to the voice of his word? So I was going, I've never noticed that before. And he literally had me. I was sitting in a room where my Bible was close by. He said, go get your Bible. You know, just my good old Bible here, printed version. And he said, hold it up to your ear. Now, is this the word of God? Absolutely. Is this his word? Absolutely. He said, hold it up to your ear. Do you hear any voice? And it dawned on me. No. Oh my God. This part of that verse is talking about when we give voice to his word, the angels hearken to that. There it is. Woo! Man. Oh, I wish y'all could share that. I hope sometime maybe he'll let you. Whoa, what a rush. They hearken to the voice of his word. And it began to dawn on me, there is a connection between the words that we give voice to, especially his word, and these angels. I'm just barely touching on angels. There's so much in the word of God. We do know this from Hebrews, that they're all ministering spirits sent forth to help us who are the heirs, H-E-I-R-S, heirs of salvation. Well, that's us. We're the heirs, and these angels have been sent forth to help. So I looked up the word voice in Strong's, of course, being a good student, and it's, if you want to look it up yourself, it's H-6963, K-O-L-E is how you'd spell it in English. But the definition is this: to call aloud, a voice, a sound. If you're being silent, you're not giving voice. I mean, you could speak it to yourself, I guess, internally, but that's not the same. The angels don't really hearken to that. It says they hearken to the voice, the thing you said out loud, the sound. They hearken to that. By definition, it is the opposite of silent. You know, one of the things I've never really understood, it plainly says Adam was standing right next to Eve during that whole thing when she's being deceived by the devil. It said Adam was right there with her, because when she did eat the apple, she then offered it to him who was with her. And he just remained silent during that whole thing. I mean, he's hearing what that devil's saying, and he just remains silent. How often has Gary committed that same sin? I'm not going to ask how often you have. We all have, and we know it. It's time to rise up and begin giving voice to God's word. I think but maybe our angels have been sitting around playing canasta or pinochle they've got nothing to do. Anyway, that's all speculation. Now let's look at this in actual practice. Remember Gabriel? Gabriel is only really given names of two angels in the Bible, Gabriel and Michael in the Bible. Well, Gabriel is the one that came to Mary and told her that she was going to be the one, really, that would fulfill the prophecy given by Isaiah all those years earlier, that a virgin was going to conceive and bear a son. Now, Mary's response to this, now the angel, he's been sent, obviously Gabriel was commanded by God, go tell Mary this, okay? So he's obeying that, and he tells Mary what God told him to say. Now Mary's response back was, this is her words, okay? Be it unto me according to thy word. And then also, it wasn't just that one moment. See, you can read that song that she sings. It's in Luke. It's really long, so I didn't include it here, but Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. This is a song, but it's confession, and it's just full of faith and love and believing that what God said he's going to do. It's showing the faithfulness of God, and talks about how God keeps his promises to Israel. He's fulfilling the word spoken all those, it's just her words agreed with what God had said. Okay. Well, everything went fine. Jesus is conceived. Jesus is born in the earth. Okay. Now, that same angel, Gabriel, he comes to visit Zacharias, who was a priest. Now, his response, and I'm just shortening this down for time's sake. Dear Lord, we're already halfway through. And I'm on page 2 of 5. So, okay. His response when the angel told him, okay, basically said, your wife is going to conceive in her old age, and you're going to have this son, and you need to name him John, and so forth. Said a lot of things to him. Zacharias' response, other than, be it unto me according to thy word, his response is, how do I know this is true? In King James, it says, whereby shall I know this? You got it. In other words, you're going to have to prove to me what you're saying is true. I think it got under the angel's skin a little bit, if that's... I think it miffed him a little bit. Because look at how he responds here in Luke 1, verses 19 and 20. How do I know this is true, what you're telling me? And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. That's, you know, Gabriel, is that, okay. Getting ahead of myself. I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God and am sent. In other words, he sent me to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed. Now notice why. Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled. Now notice, in their season. We'll get to some of that in a minute. Why? I want you to notice something. And again, we spent a whole lesson on this a few weeks ago. Do your words matter? Why did the angel have to stop him from being able to speak? Because his words matter. Mary composes basically this song. It just flows out of the abundance of their heart about it, the goodness and the faithfulness of God, and how be it unto me according to his word, basically, you know. Zacharias, I'm not sure you're telling me the truth. I don't see how this could happen. If he'd have kept speaking, listen, there is no other reason why to stop him from speaking if his words would not have had an effect on the outcome. It was imperative that John the Baptist be conceived, be born, and that he be born at the time appointed, because he had to be there on planet Earth at the certain age, at the right time, at the right place, to prepare the way and introduce the Lamb of God, the Messiah. This is imperative to the kingdom. It had to happen, and it had to happen at that time. Okay. Well, if your words don't matter, why? Zacharias would say, you can just say whatever you want. It's going to happen anyway. No. See, that's what we tend to think, that our words don't matter. That angel thought it mattered. As I have learned and thought about and meditated this over the years, I'm thinking, it's a miracle to me that God hasn't shut my mouth. Some of the ignoramus things I have. How dare you cut me off in traffic? Good Lord, my back is killing me. What if all of our words up till now came to pass? Oh, my back is killing me. Boom, that's it. Your words came to pass. Okay, we've taught on that before. Now, let's go a step further. I want you to notice that this angel had power to affect the man's body. That angel had the power to affect the vocal cords of a human. Angels have got powers. We haven't really, this is not normally taught very much in our churches, and we don't, I don't hear it taught very much. Never heard it taught very much, but it's obvious that that angel had that power. Okay, you're not going to talk anymore. And whatever happened, had to happen, his vocal cords, it affected his vocal cords, and he couldn't talk. And not until the angel released him after John was born and after he said his name was John. So that angel made him dumb, not able to speak for a season. Zacharias could hear, but he couldn't speak. So it's obvious, right? Angels have certain powers to affect the human body. Now, so do fallen angels. So do demons. They still have that power. Now, I just took three scriptures here that are not related. They're all in two of them out of the book of Matthew and one out of Mark. Three separate events to show you that demons have power, certain powers to affect the human body. All right? So angels have that power. So do fallen angels, demons. All right? Now, quickly, you can look at these or just look them up later. But Matthew 9, verses 32 and 33. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man. He couldn't speak. This one possessed with a devil. That's a fallen angel. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But it's obvious here that that devil, that spirit, was causing the man not to be able to speak. He had that power. Jesus cast him out, and the man could talk. Here's another one, Matthew 12, verses 22 through 24. And again, this is Matthew, so you know it's not the same event. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil. Now, this one's blind, and okay. Devil, fallen angels can affect your sight. Fallen angels can affect your voice box. So let me start again. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he, that's Jesus, healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. So this devil had the power to affect the human body, to cause blindness, and affect the vocal cords where the man couldn't speak. Verse 23, all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? And that means the Messiah. But then when the Pharisees heard it, now notice they heard it. They heard what happened. They said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. I put that in there so you'd know it wasn't just a natural healing. They heard what happened. Jesus cast the devil out of that guy. It was a spirit. Okay. All right. Now let's go over to Mark 9. Verses 17 and then 25 to show the end result. One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought my son unto thee. Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Okay. Now, verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people were running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And if you read the rest of the story, you'll find that that devil came out, but it threw him on the ground and he wallowed and foamed and whatever, you know. But anyway, he did come out. Now, you got to understand, so it's obvious, and there's more verses. I just didn't want to take up the whole time on that. But we got to understand, in the case of Zacharias, obviously that angel had the power to affect his human body. In this case, his vocal cords. And in these three examples, we see that fallen angels still have that power. And we saw where they could affect sometimes sight and speech. Okay. But now listen, not every deaf, dumb, or blind person is possessed with a devil. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying that all sickness, all birth defects, all such things are the result of the fall of man. They all are here because of sin. There were none of those things, none of those sickness, birth defects, blindness, dumbness, there was none of that in the garden before the fall of man. And we know there are none of those things in heaven where the will of God is done. Ultimately, all such things, they are the result of the kingdom of darkness rather than the kingdom of God. Jesus was sent to destroy the works of the devil. Here's Matthew 15:31. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be made whole. The maimed to be made whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. Now notice, when they saw that, and they glorified the God of Israel. When the works of darkness are destroyed and abundant life is manifested in its place, that's when the people glorify God. Boy, that's going to be so important in the revival. We're going to be doing those same things. The dumb will speak. The maimed will be made whole while they watch. While they watch. The lame will walk. The blind will see, and many other such things. Glory to God. But see, all of those things are the result of this fallen world. And notice the people, they didn't glorify God until they saw Jesus fix it, either by casting out devils or healing them, and if it was a natural cause. But if it was caused by a demon, Jesus cast it out. If it was caused by something natural in this fallen world, look, Jesus would heal it. Either way, the works of darkness were stopped, and abundant life was manifested. Whew. Glory to God. All right, another thing that the Holy Spirit mentioned in that portion from the words document that I read earlier, Remember he said there are ranks of angels? We know at least in the Bible there are seraph, there are angels called seraphim, and there are cherubim. We don't really know how many more ranks of angels there are, although there's probably billions of angels. Some things you need to know from the Word, and I don't have time to get really in depth in this, but you just need to know angels are very organized. Nothing happens haphazardly in the kingdom of God. Remember that Satan is not a creative being. He only imitates and perverts what he saw God do. Well, we are told, Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, that in the kingdom of darkness, in the demonic realm, let me say it that way, in the fallen angel realm, there's great organization. And you can see that in Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there we see at least four rankings of the fallen angels. There are principalities, there are powers, there are rulers of darkness, and there is spiritual wickedness, and there might be more divisions. I don't know. But that lets us know, because the devil did it that way, he doesn't have any creative ability, you know. He just imitates and perverts for his own use what he saw God do. Well, if he understood to do that in his kingdom, it's because he saw God's organization before he fell. He saw that in the kingdom of God, there are ranks of angels. They're organized by different levels of authority. Remember, Satan only imitates what he saw God do. Now, just a couple of things on angels, and again, this is not really a study so much about angels, but there are a few things that are just essential because the enemy's been so determined to brainwash us and have us believe fables instead of the truth. First, you got to understand, there's no such thing as baby angels. You know, at Valentine's, you know, they show little baby angels with, you know, like Cupid with the bow and arrow and shoot through the heart. And right there, Dave would usually break into song, you know. Yeah, Cupid, draw back your bow. Anyway, I'm not quite, Dave could sing, I can't. All right. there are no baby angels. Jesus, did you know Jesus himself said, angels do not marry, and they're not given in marriage. Why not? See, there's no female angels mentioned in the Bible. Never. Nobody ever saw a female angel. God has not given angels seed to procreate like he gave to Adam. Each angel is created individually, although he may do 1,000 at a time, but they're each created by God, fully developed. They're not born, they don't begin as an embryo and grow up and mature. No. God has not given angels seed the same way that he gave Adam and seed and Eve the ability to receive seed. So let's summarize a little bit. My goodness, we're 3/4 of the way through. Let's review a little bit about angels and power to work with words. Notice. Did you notice Gabriel did not forgive John's words of unbelief? It doesn't matter what you say. It does matter what you say. We did that lesson recently. Your words matter is the title of that lesson if you want to go look it up. Your words matter. Gabriel didn't bypass his words. Here's Zacharias just speaking. I don't know if what you're telling me is true, basically. Now, let me elaborate a little here. He didn't bypass his words. He acted based on what he said. That angel did. The angel acted. Now, why take the very unusual step? You don't see this very often. Maybe not ever anywhere else in the Bible. Why take the very unusual step of making Zacharias unable to speak? It was vitally important that John the Baptist be born of the priestly line through Zacharias. That was one. And number two, he had to be born at the appointed time so that he would be an adult and mature and ready and able to announce Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, to announce Jesus and to prepare the way. You know, it says he was sent to prepare the way of the Lord, that message about repentance, okay? And you got to understand this. John, if you'll allow me, I hope you've listened to all the lessons I ever taught about, but especially when John baptized Jesus and how really, and I just can't get into that. We're 46 minutes, but what happened? Okay, I'm just going to read it how I wrote it. John was the last prophet slash priest of the Old Testament. If you want to know the truth of it, did you realize there was 400 years of silence after the prophet Malachi penned the last word that we have in the book of Malachi? From then until John, 400 years of silence. 400 years. Wow. And then suddenly here's John the Baptist. He's on the scene. He is of the priestly line. His lineage is of the Levitical priesthood. You can, through Zacharias, you can trace him all the way back to Levi. Okay? John was the last prophet, priest of the Old Testament who baptized Jesus into a new priesthood in a new covenant after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of the Levitical priesthood. There is so much that happened that day when John the Baptist baptized Jesus. That's why later in Luke 16, I believe it is, Jesus says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. When John baptized Jesus, Jesus was making a visual vow before the Father, I know why you sent me. I'm vowing to you today, I'm going all the way to death. When John lays me down in the water, that's a type of the grave. It's my vow to you that I'm going all the way to death. I'm going to do this. God looked on the heart and counted it done. But Jesus, when John raised him up out of the water, that's also a vow. That's Jesus saying, I am trusting you. You will not leave my soul in hell, neither will my body see corruption. For the Jew, that means he would have to be raised by the third day, because on the fourth day is when they believe corruption began to set in. Goodness, there's so much there. I've taught it piece by piece over the years, but you may have been hearing this for the first time. But it was so vitally important to the plan of God. John the Baptist had to be conceived. He had to be conceived through the line of priesthood, and he had to be conceived at the right time so he would be on the scene to announce the Messiah. Okay. But only after. So that angel, yeah, he hearkened to the words of Zacharias, all right. Okay. Your words matter, so you're not going to speak any words. You're just not going to speak any words until this is done, because this has to happen. So only after John was born, after John the Baptist was born, and Zacharias obeyed what the angel said by naming him John. Remember, he wrote it on something, a tablet. He wrote, his name is John, okay? Only then did that angel release his vocal cords. And Zacharias was able to speak again. Your words matter. And angels are hearkening to the voice. Oh, what? Are we giving voice to God's word? Okay. Well, notice, God didn't remove that angel from his assignment to Zacharias when Zacharias was speaking these words. No. He said to me, this angel will not bypass or forgive your words. That angel didn't either. He said, angels don't operate in mercy and forgiveness. They operate in obedience. So that angel had to take action in order for God's word to come to pass. Again, in that case, it was imperative to the plan of God that John the Baptist be born of the priestly line through Zacharias, and that he be born at the appointed time so he would be able to prepare the way of the Lord. And the angel acted on the words of Zacharias. That angel, didn't he? based on what Zechariah said, I'm not sure I believe you. I'm paraphrasing him anyway. Okay, we're going to have to take action here because your words matter. It will affect the outcome. Here's the conclusion of the matter. We are coming into the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. Now, I know I'm speaking primarily to revivalists. You want to be used. You want to be on the front lines. You want to be in this. If you want to be used of God in the revival, we're going to have to bridle our tongues with the word of God. Now, what you are filled with is what's going to come out of your mouth. And that's real easy to see from Luke 6:45, from the lips of the king himself. Remember what he said to me? The kingdom of God functions the way the king says that it functions and not how you think it functions. See, because we keep thinking, oh, it doesn't matter what I say. Well, ask Zacharias about that. Luke 6:45, look what Jesus said. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. That's why he gave me the instruction, if you'll notice, to fill myself with Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to read it, at least verse 8. Let me read verse 8 to you one more time. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, now I put in all caps because it's a command, think on these things. The only thing that I know of that fits all of those descriptors, just and pure and lovely and honest, is the word of God. Let us fill ourselves with the word of God to the point it is in our heart in such abundance. It's the first thing to come out of our mouth, always. Another thing I heard the Holy Spirit say, you cannot bridle the tongue without first filling your heart with the word of God. Does that agree with the Bible? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the treasure in your heart, the mouth speaks. If we fill our heart with the word of God, our mouth will speak it. Glory to God. 54 minutes. I'm going to read something to you that happened this week, this past week, last Thursday. Well, I don't know when this will be posted. From the time that I'm doing this, it was about a week ago. And I'm just going to read it to you, and then I'm going to leave because it's not very flattering to me. That's okay. I'd rather be transparent and you be helped. I don't really care if you. I don't want you to put me on a pinnacle. I want you to put Jesus on the pinnacle. And I don't want to really be your teacher. I want the Holy Spirit to be your teacher, okay? But I've shared this with a couple of people already, and it seemed to really help them. So I'm going to share it with you. And I've got time to read this. Now, on last Thursday, my wife Sue went to bed at 9 p.m. And I was tired, but I really wasn't sleepy. So I decided I would watch a television show. And if you're familiar with it, this one, NCIS, it's been on for many, many years. It's pretty clean. There's never any foul language. There's never any skin showing, you know. Anyway. So I decided I'd watch NCIS, which I had previously recorded on my DVR. I just had the thought, I'm just going to relax for an hour. You ever want to vegetate? I'm just going to relax for an hour before going to bed. And my emotions, I was just tired, and I just wanted to rest and be refreshed for an hour. Doesn't that sound nice? The moment that my hand picked up the remote control, the Lord began speaking to me. Quote, are you aware that your soul prefers time watching these fables rather than spending that same time with me? I'm telling you, that voice was as clear as you're hearing my voice right now. I'm going to say it again. Are you aware that your soul prefers time watching these fables rather than spending that same time with me? There is no doubt what he was saying. It was clear as a bell. There was also no doubt that he was speaking the truth. How do you argue with that? Although mine and Sue's television time is virtually nothing these days compared to what it was like 30 years ago, I could not deny that at that moment and at other moments, other such moments, my soul always had a choice whether to spend intimate time with him, either in the Word or in prayer or in worship, or to spend time being carnal, just watching something on television or maybe online, like YouTube cat videos, news, documentaries, other things, you know, things online. Now, I said something really intelligent back, like, I know you're right, as always. Then I said, this is a level of my flesh that is still resisting you, isn't it? Dawns begin to dawn on my lightning quick mind, you know, okay, this is, you know, used to be sinful things, to be honest. In the early days, I was struggling with sinful things, but this isn't really. So I said it again. Let me say it again. I keep speaking too much. This is a level of my flesh that is still resisting you, isn't it? This is one of those weights, like what's mentioned in Hebrews 12:1, that we not only lay aside the sin, but every weight. This isn't exactly sin, but it is a weight that is slowing down my race in the kingdom of God, isn't it? I remained quiet and just listened for a while. Then the Lord said, when you get to know the Lord, he is very, very personal. He's very friendly. He can be fun. Okay. Anyway, he said this to me. He says, well, since your soul enjoys stories so much, I have a lot of stories in my Bible that are really good, and they're not fables. They are true and filled with life. Isn't that great? Now I'm going to add a note. I wrote a note after this event. A few days later, I wrote this note because, listen, just because the Lord had this conversation with me does not mean that my soul instantly capitulated and started clamoring to read the Bible instead of watching television. No, it didn't change at all. See, I know biblical fasting always has to do with food. I know that. But I see the same principle here as in fasting food. See, I'm going to have to force my will. Excuse me, let me say it another way. Say it the way I wrote it. I'm going to have to force my soul to rest by reading the Word of God instead of watching television or anything online. See, when I know that when I fast food, that's telling my body, you're not the boss of me. You're not. You don't tell me what to do. I tell you what to do. Forcing Bible reading instead of television or media tells my soul, you're not the boss of me either. Remember, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. My soul, my body is not the boss of me. My soul is not the boss of me. My spirit, who I am, the real me, the child of God, Gary, son of God, is the boss here, with Jesus as my head. Should I share this? The following Monday, after that event, I heard this following word from the Lord concerning increased levels of fasting. Now, in this one, he's primarily talking about fasting food, okay? But when he mentions in this, what he's about to say here, what I'm going to read to you, when he mentions the phrase soul purging, S-O-U-L-purging, all I knew he was referring back to that incident on Thursday. So this came to me during a time of tongues and praying, listening, asking for the interpretation. Sometimes you get one, sometimes you don't. This time I did. And he said, I am pleased with your obedience to the fasting instructions I have given you thus far. Gary, what has he told you? That's none ya. You get your own fasting instructions from the Lord. It started out with me just choosing to do some Daniel fasts and then longer fasts, but eventually he put me on a schedule of his choosing. I've been on that for years. I am pleased with your obedience to the fasting instructions I have given you thus far. Know that increased anointing, he's talking about the revival, increased anointing will require increased levels of fasting. For as you have seen, the flesh is not yet mortified, only controlled to this point in your walk with me. Things that you would not have thought to be hindrances are now becoming apparent to your soul. As you yield and allow me to purge these deeper levels of flesh appeasement, your maturity is about to do a jump. Much like from adolescence to teenager, and then from teenager to adult, as the adult looks back and reflects how childish his thinking was, as a child and as a teenager, you shall look back at your current level of understanding the same way. There is no substitute for this process of maturity, so allow no condemnation as you see how foolish many of your past decisions have been. My mercies are truly new every morning, and I am proud of your perseverance through much adversity to seek me myself. Now, that's a very personal word to me. I share it with you just out of transparency. We're all going through this maturing process. Well, I say we are. You are if you're doing the blueprint. If you're doing what he has instructed us, then you're in the maturity process. If you're not, please start. Hallelujah. Well, I'm way over on time. Love you so much. See you again next week. Bye-bye for now.